The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. It is Tuesday, March 23rd, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to our show, 60 minutes of news talk, interviews, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. Ganja John, our engineer, couldn't be with us today. He's in Roseburg, Oregon, so he'll be back tomorrow. I'm taking care of all the tech details today. And joining us in our virtual studio in beautiful Astoria, Oregon, at the mouth of the Columbia River, my good friend and half-sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Good day to you, sir.
Oh, good day to you, Carrie. How are things for you up in that beautiful Northwest paradise of yours?
It is paradise today. Sunny and gorgeous, and I think we're going to go for a bike ride after the show.
Oh, goody, 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 a bike ride. Hey, folks, Carrie brings us the news right after our first break from CannabisFantastic.com. What do we got looking forward to today's news stories?
Well, we're going to cover a previous dispensary owner who was sentenced yesterday to a prison term. We're going to look at Hillary Clinton, our U.S. Secretary of State, and her travels in the next 2 days. And also we're going to talk a little bit about what growers are thinking about the Tax Cannabis Act of 2010 in California.
Okay, a lot of great news stories coming up. Also want to remind folks, we still have our homegrown.com contest going on where you could win a T-shirt from our newest sponsor. We've already had two winners in the contest. We'll have a commercial for that later on in the show so you can learn how you can win the other two T-shirts that are available. Also want to remind folks, if you love the show and you want to make donations to the show, we are sponsored by the Normal Foundation, which is a 501c3 federal nonprofit, which means any donations you make to Normal Show Live are absolutely tax deductible. So if you'd like to send in a donation by credit card or cash, you can go to our secure server online. You'll find that at https, and that means secure, secure.normal.org/donate. secure.normal.org/donate if you'd like to make a tax-deductible donation, or if you'd like to donate equipment. We've got great listeners out there, including Rolla J, who donated this very microphone I'm talking to you on. He's donating some more gear to the show. And if you've got old musical gear laying around or cameras or computer gear, anything that you think might help us here at the show, you can donate it to us, and it, too, is tax-deductible. I'll write you up a receipt for it. You can take it off of your taxes next year. So anybody who'd like to help out, this show is all about the cannabis community. We're not bankrolled by any billionaires here. It's all about donations from people just like you. So thanks for helping keep us on the air. And speaking of sponsorship, some great news out of motorsports. Check out this weekend's NASCAR races. CannabisPlanet.tv, the TV show down there in Southern California, has sponsored a NASCAR. They've got the Cannabis Planet logo with the big hemp leaf right there on the hood of a NASCAR. I am so looking forward to seeing that. If you enjoy watching people take left turns all day, you couldn't do much better than to watch them do it in a car with a hemp leaf on it. It's a beautiful thing. If you'd like to send us some more information or if you have any questions about the show, you can email me at stash@normal.org. Follow me on Twitter at Radical Russ and check out our Stash blog at stash.normal.org. You can see video of that Cannabis Planet TV NASCAR.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name, just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind, liberate your mind.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
The former owner of 6 medical marijuana dispensaries located in Los Angeles was sentenced to 6 years in prison for dealing cannabis for profit. According to the prosecutors in the case, Virgil Grant, 42 years old, was selling marijuana for profit, and California's medical marijuana law prohibits the cultivation and sale of marijuana for profit, an amendment to California's Prop 215. U.S. District Judge Stephen V. Wilson agreed with prosecutors that Grant had used the clinics to shield his for-profit marijuana sales in handing down the 6-year sentence. It may set a precedent, as Judge Wilson said in his ruling, that planting and selling marijuana for your own use and profit was illegal other than medical purposes. Grant was first investigated by police in December of 2007 when a California Highway Patrol officer's car that had been parked on the shoulder of Highway 101, along with a pulled-over driver, was hit by a truck. The driver of the car was killed and the officer was paralyzed. An investigation of that accident found that the truck driver had consumed marijuana that was found in his truck and purchased from one of Grant's clinics. It was also reported that the driver was high on ecstasy at the time of the accident. The driver in the case was sentenced to 15 years imprisonment. This opened an investigation into Grant's dispensary business, which yielded a number of undercover buys at several of the dispensaries, including a $5,700 one-pound transaction with one of Grant's employees. Grant was indicted and arrested, and his bond mandated that he stay away from medical marijuana dispensaries. Virgil Grant made the news again last December when he was arrested for opening 2 more dispensaries against his bond. He was on trial for a host of federal charges, including operating 3 dispensaries within 1,000 feet of schools and money laundering.
Oh, man. You know, California's got such a good thing going right now. It's got the most relaxed medical marijuana law as far as a doctor can recommend for any condition that he or she thinks that marijuana will help. Right. So not like the other states where you have to fit in a very controlled list of particular conditions. Any condition doctor can recommend for. There's dispensaries all over the place. But for some reason, that's just not enough for some people.
Greed is good. Greed is right. greed works.
And that's the problem, is the greed. People wanting to get in this thinking they can have a farmer's lifestyle with a drug dealer's profits. And that's the only problem I've ever had with the dispensary situation. I have no problem with collectives, people organizing dispensaries to help medical patients. But the longer this dispensary situation goes on, where people are obviously using it for the purposes of greed, to enrich themselves, the harder it gets to pass medical marijuana in the other states that don't have it. Legislators all across the country, especially on the East Coast, point their fingers back at California and they say, well, we don't want to turn out like California. Now, despite the fact that California's turned out pretty good, you know, like their teen use of marijuana ranks number 32 out of all 50 states after passing medical marijuana. It dropped from something like 19, you know, and the fact that the dispensaries are kicking in sales taxes in many instances and providing jobs that wouldn't otherwise be there and getting medicine to the people. That's all well and good. But it doesn't come through out on the East Coast, right? All they see on the East Coast is the Luke Scarmazzos and these Virgil Grants who are, you know, flaunting how much money they're making off the dispensaries. And basically, you know, in the case of Grant here, going against what the judge ordered in his bond. Whether or not you think it's right that people should make a profit off of marijuana, or whether or not Virgil should have been restricted by the judge in the way that he was, whether or not you think that's right is another argument. Whether it's good for the movement is what I'm talking about. And the way that it portrays us and the way that it portrays, it gives people ammunition for the idea that there really is no such thing as medical, that it's all some sort of ruse to get through with doing pot dealing through a storefront. I worry about this. And I so hope that the dispensary owners in California and the more responsible people in the industry will get together and find some way to curb these excesses, so that it's not so difficult to pass medical marijuana in the other states.
U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is leading a cabinet-level delegation to Mexico City for a two-day conference that will focus on the violence and the power of drug trafficking gangs. The team Clinton has taken with her include Secretary of Defense Robert Gates, Secretary of Homeland Security Janet Napolitano, and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff Admiral Mike Mullen. Violence along the U.S.-Mexican border has skyrocketed since Mexican President Felipe Calderon deployed tens of thousands of troops and federal police across the country beginning in December 2006 in an effort against drug traffickers. Since that move, 18,000 people have been killed in the violent drug war south of the border, and innocent civilians are increasingly getting caught in the crossfire. The talks come just 1 week after an execution-style killing of three American citizens linked to a U.S. consulate in Mexico. Since December 2006, all of the killings keep happening and the monthly statistics keep going up. According to the Justice Department, Mexican cartels now operate in 230 American cities. During a visit to Mexico City in March of 2009, Secretary Clinton said that the United States has a co-responsibility to confront Mexico's growing violence because of the American insatiable demand for illegal drug fuels the Mexican drug trade. Former leaders of Mexico, Brazil, and Colombia have all called for an end to prohibition in order to stem the violence. Last December, the Wall Street Journal reported that a growing number of U.S. and Mexican officials say privately that regulating marijuana may be the only solution to the current crisis. The Clinton cabinet delegation to Mexico begins today.
Well, of course, Secretary Clinton's not going to say anything as sensible as we need to legalize marijuana on the U.S. side of the border. We're not going to hear that out of Secretary Clinton. What we're going to hear is that, we've got President Calderon putting federal troops all over Mexico to try to stem the violence. He's got 7,000 troops in Juarez, Mexico alone, the murder capital of the planet, with 7 murders on average per day. You know what Secretary Clinton will say? We need to support the Mexicans more. We need to send them more ammunition, more weapons, more U.S. advisors. Because if what we're doing isn't working, by God, let's do it more. I mean, that's the typical drug war strategy. We've seen it since the 1970s, since Nixon declared this stupid war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs. If we're not sending enough guns and violence and troops to take care of the problem now, well, by God, let's send some more. And of course, we all know that the true solution is the legalization of marijuana for adults in America. It's simple: supply and demand. So long as Americans demand marijuana, somebody will step up to supply it. And if they continue to crack down on supply here in America, well, then someone in Mexico will grow it and supply it for us. You know, this is a relatively recent development in the drug trafficking routes throughout Latin America and Central America and Mexico. Used to be that the drugs were trafficked from Colombia and other South American locations through the Caribbean, right? They take them on boats up through the Caribbean and land in Miami. This dates back to my mid-80s days and the whole Miami Vice thing. When we started cracking down on the shipping and started cracking down on the ports, all of those drug trafficking routes moved to land, and they became dominated by the Mexicans, who were in charge of getting those drugs from Colombia and these other countries up through Mexico and into America. And marijuana has become much more of a share of that drug trafficking than it ever was before, again, as American officials crack down on marijuana growing here in the United States. Year after year, they say they have record seizures of marijuana, but they'll always admit that they're only catching somewhere between 5 and 10% of it. It's a losing battle. It can never be won. It's time to legalize marijuana in America to end the violence in Mexico.
The proposal to put cannabis legalization to a vote in California this November has sparked debate among California growers about the value of their cannabis crops if the measure passes. Supporters of the proposed Regulate, Control, and Tax Cannabis Act of 2010 turned in more than enough signatures to get the measure on the ballot. The ballot initiative, which is being presented in part as a way to raise tax revenues for California, is supported by Richard Lee, an Oakland businessman who makes his money selling cannabis legally. Mr. Lee also founded Oaksterdam University, which trains growers. If passed, cannabis would be legal for anyone over 21 to possess, and it would also allow individuals to cultivate cannabis in an area no larger than 25 square feet for personal use. As the name implies, it would also allow cities and counties to permit marijuana to be grown and sold, and most importantly, taxed. The Times Standard paper in Humboldt County reported yesterday that local business people, officials, and those involved in the marijuana industry are planning to meet tonight and break a long-standing silence to talk about what supposedly is the backbone of Humboldt County's economy, pot. More specifically, the meeting will focus on the potential economic effects of the legalization of marijuana. Some are speculating that the meeting may not have many attendees due to the clandestine nature of California growers. The fear among growers is that their high-priced cannabis, up to $6,000 a pound, will lose at least half of its value overnight if personal cultivation was made legal. In an invitation to the meeting tonight in the Emerald Triangle, a focus on the positives for the area if legalization occurs is that tourism and marijuana products and services could become part of the Humboldt County brand. A recent field poll found that 56% of Californians support the legalizing measure. No word on how many of them are growers.
Well, this is something I've been worried about the tax cannabis proposal. We saw the field poll come up with a 56% support, and that's a good thing. But that 56% is also going to include some of these people who are growers, who do have an economic interest in prohibition. And when they start looking at the numbers, they might think it's better to just run the risk of being illegal and continue to make that $6,000 a pound. Right? So we could actually be facing some resistance to the legalization of marijuana, not from the prohibitionists, not from the cops, not from the parents, who we already know are going to oppose it, but from people who should be on our side, cannabis growers. So when we're talking a 56% margin right now, usually when they talk about initiatives, they say whatever you poll at the beginning, you can count on losing 5 to 10% support as the measure actually makes it to the news and people start looking at the intricacies of what's involved in the legislation. So if we're talking about dropping 5 to 10 points, we're now in the 50% range and really close to not passing legalization in California. And what a shame it would be if some of these people in Northern California, some of the growers who depend on this for a living, vote against legalization, and then our opponents are able to say, well, see, California is not ready for legalization. When in fact, many of those people are ready for it. They're just not ready to lose their income. It's something we definitely need to think about. Some other things in the measure that some people concerned. The 25 square foot canopy, that's a 5x5 growing area. A lot of people think that's way too small, should be 10x10. Some people think there should be no limit on canopy for how much people should grow for personal purposes. This possibility of a local option where some towns or counties could be dry counties, you know, where no marijuana is allowed at all. That's another possibility that has people frightened. And one very controversial aspect of the initiative is the rule that says you're not allowed to use cannabis in front of your children. That has some people concerned as well. I sure hope we can keep the support for this high, to pardon the pun, and that we can get this passed and our own people don't cause us to go off the tracks for legalization in California. All right, folks, time to take a break. It's 20 after the hour, and you know what time that means. I hope you have a relaxing time. Stay tuned. When we come back, we've got your daily Toker tunes from Electric Tuesday.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man, reefer man? If he said he swam to China, he would tell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. I don't know what this says about the online audience, but the answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy. So.
About nearly 1 million lives wrecked by a marijuana arrest every year, Mr. President. Politely tell President Obama what you think about legalization by calling the White House at 202-456-1111. This is Normal Show Live.
That, of course, was President Obama reacting to one of the times we brought marijuana legalization to the top of the surveys for Change.gov, open for questions and all of that. We recently did it again. Number one question, once again, legalizing marijuana, and it has, once again, been ignored by the Obama administration. It's not going to happen at the federal level, folks. We got to do this state by state. So stay tuned while we do that. It's time for your daily Toker tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica. Brought to you by Sarah Kant Photography. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. All right, we head out to Boston, Massachusetts, and our friend Sara Kant, who brings us our Electric Tuesday tunes. Sara, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Russ. How are you today?
Well, I am doing just fabulous, and I hope things are going well for you out there in Boston.
Well,
we hope that they will get better then. So maybe today can be the start of something better for you. And maybe this tune will cheer us up a little bit. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Electric Tuesday is always the start to things that are better. From our friends at Marijuana Music Network, Kans Kling, consisting of talented couple Susie Lavender and Gerard Patient. Susie creates lyrics and vocals, whereas Gerard does programming and production from their Epping Essex base in North London, England, calling themselves an amalgamation of Massive Attack, Lamb, Jazz and Nova, and Dubstar in the self-proclaimed electro-chill genre. They are clearly influenced by trip-hop, dubstep, popular European dance, down-tempo, chill-out, and ambient music. Kling have received much acclaim following the release of their debut CD, Sonic Spells, in July 2006. All tracks were used for several episodes of cult internet television show Welcome to the Scene, and have been played on numerous radio stations in the UK, including regional BBC Radio. They began playing live in early 2007 with shows at famous venues such as Sound Factory, Café de Paris, and Synthetic, as well as festivals like the Ambient Picnic Festival, Alchemy Festival, and McKelvedon's The Music Festival, where they wowed 2,000 fans in July 2009. With Susie's uplifting feminine vocals and Gerald's complex programming, deeper meaning manages to be both light and dark. A vigorous, intense beat, breakdowns, and a single rhythm would make the song at home in such discrepant events as electronic, pop, and goth industrial clubs. The extensive depth and detail within the lyrics of this tune makes it easy to suspend some time and become transcendent with Kling. The band recently released a live album on CD and download, aptly named Live Versions, featuring performances over the past year and are on a compilation from indie label Adam Sounds. Currently, their song Behind Your Dreams is highly ranked in a March 2010 competition at Our Stage. Please vote for them if you're so inclined. They are shooting their next video on April 4th, and they can be found playing throughout Britain this year. All of Kling's old and new offerings are available on all major download sites via DIY label Kling Music and distributor Kudos Records, along with textatrack.co.uk/Kling for those in the UK and Ireland. Merchandise can be purchased from Zazzle at username Kling Music. Stay up to date with Kling's songs, videos, blogs, mailing lists, street team, and more on their website at klingmusic.co.uk, MySpace username Sonic Spells, Reverb Nation, Last FM, Our Stage, and of course the Marijuana Music Network at username Kling, Twitter at username Kling Music, personal and fan pages on Facebook at usernames Kling Music and Kling respectively, YouTube at username Kling UK, and from our research, basically everywhere else on the web.
All right. Well, this is our Daily Toker Tune for Electric Tuesday. Thank you, Sara, for this hit. This is Kling with Deeper Meaning. Check out the download and the post at stash.normal.org. You can get the download and find all of those links that Sara mentioned. Probably a whole lot easier on the blog. Again, this is Kling with Deeper Meaning.
Shore of a lake of dreams. Can't reach my.
That's Kling with Deeper Meaning here on our Electric Tuesday. Thanks, Sarah Kant, out there in Boston, Massachusetts, for the tune. Appreciate that very much. And looking through the chat room, want to encourage people, if you're interested in starting a normal chapter, all you got to do is send an email to start@normal.org, and we'll send back to you all the information you need on how to get started, especially if you're like Sneaker Pimp 420 in Kansas, looking to start a Kansas Normal chapter. Please send us that email, start@normal.org.
There is a peaceful solution called a peace revolution, and now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. The next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch-long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon, at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527. California has long been the epicenter of marijuana law reform in the United States. Every Tuesday, we're joined by Eric Brenner, the producer of the California Marijuana Report, for an interview with an important figure in cannabis in the Golden State. You can hear the entire California Marijuana Report online at California Normal's site, canormal.org, and Beverly Hills Normal at normal90210.org. Now, here with another great interview is Eric Brenner.
Hi, this is Cheech Marin, and you listen to Eric Brenner on the California Marijuana Report.
The most important weapon we have in fighting the war on drugs is information and publicity. Please email or write San Diego District Attorney Bonnie Dumanis. Keep your commentary respectful. Ask her to drop the case against Eugene Davinovich and the case against Donna Lambert. Letters can be sent to publicaffairs@sdcda.org or Hall of Justice, 330 West Broadway, San Diego, California, 92101. Let's end this war on marijuana and free all the California marijuana prisoners. And joining us this week on the California Marijuana Report is Victoria Zavala. Victoria is running for city council in Lancaster. This is a very conservative, right-wing community in the northeastern corner of Los Angeles. Victoria, welcome to the California Marijuana Report.
Okay, yes, thank you, Eric. Thank you for having me.
Victoria, you're making this run for city council in a very conservative region of California. Tell me about the race. What you're up against?
Basically running for Lancaster City Council. I'm actually the 25th Congressional District, the 5th District, which is in the city of Lancaster, Palmdale, Antelope Valley area. I've been a cannabis patient since 2007, and I've actually been actively running my collective we have a delivery collective service, which is called Alternative Healing Collective and Wellness Center in the city of Lancaster. We've been established since 2009, but we've been advocating prior to that. We had a lot of activity throughout the city and the community. We went to Veterans Festival, car shows, Pride Festival, cancer centers and treatments, and different types of other events, Poppy Festival, which is a really huge event throughout the Antelope Valley. Once we started bringing out more awareness and education and advocating about medical marijuana, the city realized that we were onto something really big, and the collective got really big, and we started serving over 350 members by delivery. And we needed a place, we needed a location, and they weren't listening, they weren't understanding, and I ranted and raved all throughout town, the city of Palmdale, Lancaster. So the city of Palmdale decided to put an ordinance, and the city of Lancaster decided to put a moratorium. All of the other cities around us are considered unincorporated areas. One woman did decide to come and try to open up a shop, and it was very unsuccessful after a month. They closed her down. The DEA came and raided it. It was one of the first in unincorporated areas. They raided an unincorporated area in Little Rock. And then they came into the city of Lancaster and raided the actual collective, the center itself. We've gotten arrested twice.
So after an arrest, most people will kind of back off and get into something else. What did you do?
I started going to all the city council meetings. I wasn't understanding what they were saying. They were sympathetic. They understood. We had over 25, 30 people plus talk about their ailments. You know, it was really compelling, and they understood, and we had packets. So we decided to do a moratorium. So I got really mad at the end of last year, and I decided, well, I'm going to run for council. A former first responder, I have a lot of medical background, and I really wanted to become an airless trauma nurse, but unfortunately I had an injury, and due to the injury, my ailment arose.
Victoria, Lancaster is known for a large police presence, as many law enforcement officials actually live in this region. Talk to me about some of the government agencies that surround Lancaster.
We're Edwards Air Force Base. We have Lockheed. We have Boeing. We have federal prison. And so, you know, we're not only the number one and the second largest contract in the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. We have the highest amount of arrests for petty marijuana cases.
That's very sad. Question about the race. Who are you facing off with?
I am facing off with all men, all Caucasian except for one, African-American. My incumbent is Ron Smith. He's a former deputy. My other is Marvin Crist. He was a commissioner, and he says no to medical marijuana, just as Ron Smith does. I had a couple of scare tactics that were pulled on me, so I think they thought that I would drop out of the race. So right now at this point, I do have a Facebook. It's called Citizens for Zavala. And I do have a Citizens for Zavala at Gmail. We are trying to work something out, like a PayPal type of thing, and I think I'm still in the works of it, but you could contact us through email that way or through Facebook, and then we can better advise. We do have a campaign account, so we're trying to work out some methods. Again, somewhat of a rookie, but with a really loud voice and a lot of people and big empowerment, and as a single mom out here with a four-year-old daughter with 15 years medical background as a former first responder, not only do we have a collective that's very well operated as a delivery, but we have a cannabis community center. We oversee a newsletter. And we have now approximately over 450 members. And it's actively growing.
Victoria Zavala, Democratic candidate for Lancaster City Council, thank you so much for joining us today on the California Marijuana Report.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thanks to Eric Brenner for the California Marijuana Report. We play it every Tuesday here. You can also catch the full California Marijuana Report by visiting Beverly Hills Normal at normal90210.org.
It comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, it's time for our cannabis community calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. We have a statewide day of prayer for compassion. This is happening in Wisconsin to support the Jackie Rickert Medical Marijuana Act. For more information, check out Is My Medicine Legal Yet, which you can find at immly.org. There's a couple of CPC meetings in the San Diego area, a Pacific Beach planning meeting taking place at the Earl and Bertie Taylor Library on Cass Street in San Diego, and a CPC meeting at the Metropolitan Operations Center Auditorium in San Diego. Check out Normal SC, that's Normal Southern California, normalsc.org for more information. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, you can catch Hemp TV with a live call-in on cable channel 27. For more information, check out quote-unquote.org/index-channel27.html. The full link is available at normal.org/calendar. Tomorrow, Wednesday, March 24th, a land use and housing meeting in San Diego, as well as a couple of other, or another CPC meeting at Barrio Logan at the Barrio Theater in San Diego, California. Also in California, CSU Fresno Normal is having their meeting and symposium at the Family Food and Science Building, room 216A at the CSU Fresno campus in Fresno, California. On Thursday, March 25th, we've got an event in Hollywood at the Hollywood Live. Checking out with Normal of South Florida and People United for Medical Marijuana. Call Karen at 954-303-9254 if you're in the Hollywood, Florida area. And on Friday, March 26th, we've got an MMTF meeting in San Diego at the City Council Committee Room. Check that out in San Diego. And a meeting at the James Stacy is in federal court, in San Diego, California. We'd like to get as many supporters out there to fill the courtroom during that trial. This weekend, Saturday, March 27th, the Metro Region Adopt a Highway for Wayne, Oakland, Macomb, and St. Clair counties in Michigan. Check out minormal.com for the Adopt a Highway details. This is where our supporters get out there and clean the roads and do a little bit of public service so that we can show people we're about more than just marijuana. Also, Oregon Normal's cardholder meeting will take place this Saturday at the Village Ballroom in Portland, Oregon. We will be streaming that meeting live right here on Normal Show Live at noon Pacific. If you've not seen it, you need to tune in. It is the largest Normal meeting on the planet, or for that matter, in the known galaxy. For more information, check out ornorml.org. Also, March 27th, there's a meetup at the Old Worthington Library in Worthington, Ohio, with Central Ohio Normal. There is a Kansas City Normal public meeting at the Westport Coffee House in Kansas City, Missouri. Check out kcnormal.org or call 888-KC-NORMAL for more information. Ken Gorman's Marijuana Legalization Memorial Rally will be taking place at the Colorado State Capitol Building. This is also on Saturday, March 27th. And for more information on all these events on our cannabis community calendar, check out normal.org/calendar for more details. And again, if you'd like to get involved with Normal, check out your local Normal chapters at normal.org/chapters. If there's not one in your area, we'll help you get one started. Send an email to start@normal.org, and we'll send you all the information you need. When we come back, a little more ranting from me.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, are paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566.
Hey everybody, it's your favorite giveaway guy, Gene Blinkendale, here with a fabulous new contest for all you tokers and tokettes out there. We've got four t-shirts from homegrown.com to give away to the first four listeners who send us an email. But wait, it's not that easy. Your email needs to contain three different responses from your state or federal elected officials on the subject of marijuana law reform, all dated after March 1st, 2010. Send in your three responses in an email to stash@normal.org with the subject line Homegrown T-Shirt Contest, and you could be a winner. By writing your elected officials, someday we all could be winners. I'm your giveaway guy, Gene Blinkendale, reminding you that there ain't no such thing as a free lunch, but a friend with weed is a friend indeed.
Is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Welcome back, everyone. 48 after the hour here, and as Illinois continues marching toward recognizing the medical use of marijuana, they've got a Senate bill, 1381, that it's making its way through the legislature. The reefer mad prohibitionists are coming out in force on the editorial pages to scare people away from the sensible change of allowing medical use of marijuana. This is one such letter to the editor. It came to the Chicago Daily Herald, and I just thought it was my job to point out some of the reefer madness in this letter.
If approved, this bill will allow large amounts of an unmonitored and unregulated drug in our community and provide access for our youth. Supporters frame the issue around the need to decriminalize marijuana use for terminally ill patients, providing a safe and legal path to their medicine. However, there are major gaps in the bill, particularly the lack of controls.
Okay, so let me point out to you what these lack of controls are in Senate Bill 1381. Number one, you have to visit a doctor and get an examination and a recommendation for the medical use of cannabis. Number two, only if the doctor can verify that the patient suffers from one or more of the accepted conditions listed by law. Not like California, where a doctor can choose it for anything. Has to be one of the big eight conditions. And number three, the patient must register for and possess a registration card produced by the state. So the state will know where all these marijuana growers and marijuana users are living. And number four, the patient has to get a registration card that lists the patient's name and address and perhaps their photo and the names of address and addresses of up to the two caregivers the patient may designate. Now, I have a huge problem with that because somebody who's growing medical marijuana in their house and loses their wallet, that's like a big roadmap to thieves to say, hey, look where to break in and steal marijuana. But there's another one of the controls, a registration card with your name, address, and photo on it. And number five, if you're going to be growing plants, the plants have to be kept in an enclosed and locked facility. So if that's not enough controls for Illinois, you know, I don't know what is. But the writer of the email continues.
In the proposal, each person with a prescription can possess six cannabis plants, but only three mature plants for a 60-day period. In just 2 months, three mature plants can produce 1,764 joints. That's 29 joints per day.
Yeah, I want to get myself a hold of one of these 29 joints per plant per day plants. that's quite amazing. This is the funny, you know, crazy math that they try to use to scare people, this idea of how many joints that a plant is going to produce. Now, I did some research on this. I looked up Chris Conrad. He's been a guest on the show many times, and he does expert testimony in California in court cases having to do with production of marijuana. And Chris Conrad has testified many times in court that a mature indoor marijuana plant, on average, will produce 4 to 6 ounces. Now, that would mean three plants would produce somewhere between 12 and 18 ounces, you know, assuming there's no mites and assuming you didn't have a crop failure and all the terrible things that can happen. Assuming everything goes fine, you produce all three plants, you might get 12 to 18 ounces. Now, that works out to 5 2/3 to 8.5 grams per day over a 60-day period. Now, if we go by their numbers, well, they said they're getting 29 joints per day, that would mean they are rolling joints that are between 0.2 and 0.3 grams per joint, or as we call them out here in Oregon, pinners. Now, for reference sake, even the federal government's standard reference weight, when they start doing their studies on how much marijuana is consumed, or when they make up the marijuana cigarettes for the four remaining patients on the federal medical marijuana program, even the federal government claims that a joint has at least 0.4 grams of marijuana. And for those of us in the know, I mean, those of us who really roll joints and know what's going on, you know, amongst real cannabis consumers, a real joint's probably around 0.75 grams, right? About 0.75. So if we reverse engineer those numbers, we go with 0.4 or 0.75. If they're claiming that three plants can produce 1,764 joints at 0.4 grams, that's 8 ounces a plant. And at 0.75 grams, that's over a pound per plant. Now, I've seen some really good growers be able to pull that off, get a pound off of a plant indoors, but it's pretty rare. It's definitely not something that you could consider an average. And furthermore, when they start talking about a mature plant that these Illinois patients will be able to have, three whole mature plants, they're also copying Oregon's ridiculous 12-inch rule that says that the definition of a mature plant is any female plant greater than 12 inches in height or 12 inches in diameter, even if it doesn't have buds, right? So these three mature plants that the Illinois writer is so scared of, these people could be tending budless plants that are 13 inches tall, and those would be considered mature. That's what they're scared about. And even with all of that, even if we give them the three mature plants and we give them the 4 to 6 ounces per plant, even with that, the possession limits in the proposed Illinois law are lower than what the three plants could produce. And this is something that I've railed against many times in many medical marijuana bills. Currently, the bill sets the presumptive 60-day supply at 2 ounces, right? So after producing your three mature plants, you're allowed to keep 2 ounces of that for yourself. Now, they don't tell you what you're supposed to do with the rest of it, you know, but 2 ounces is supposedly what they're allowed. And even if we go down to their ridiculous 0.2 gram pinners, at 2 ounces, the best you could get out of 60 days would be somewhere between 1 1/4 and 2 1/3 joints per day. Now, the writer of the email continues with a little bit more reefer madness.
The top 5 states in the nation with the highest percentage of kids aged 12 to 17 using marijuana in the past month are all medical marijuana states. The 4 states with the highest rates of new marijuana users aged 12 to 17 are also medical marijuana states. Are we okay with our kids going down this road?
Well, those are some interesting statistics that mean absolutely nothing. The top 5 states of the nation have the highest percentage of kids 12 to 17 using marijuana. Well, aren't there 14 medical marijuana states? So doesn't that mean that 9 of the 14 states aren't in the top 5? In fact, if you look at the numbers, the rest of the states all fall somewhere in the middle of the list of states that as far as kids using marijuana. And when we look at the rates of teen marijuana use, we found that all of the medical marijuana states have lower teen use rates now than before they passed medical marijuana. So anybody who wants to try to scare you with the idea of kids and medical marijuana should be asked about the teen use in California, you know, because they always say, oh, California, it's out of control. It's crazy in California. Then why is it then that 43% of their 11th graders used marijuana in the past 6 months in 1995, yet in 2007, where we the most recent data we have, that's dropped down to 29.8%. They went from 43% before medical marijuana to less than 30% a dozen years after medical marijuana. And this is with kids growing up in California for over a decade, with dispensaries on the corner, with neon marijuana leaf signs and all of the rampant medical marijuana. After a dozen years growing up in that, less kids are using marijuana in California. Also, you should ask these people, why is it that California has the lowest teen marijuana use rates of all the medical marijuana states? And in fact, California ranks below the national average in teen use of marijuana, ranking number 32 nationally of all the states. And its rates are actually lower than Iowa, than Kansas, and even lower than Illinois. So it's a false argument whenever they want to try to scare you away from medical marijuana by bringing up the old, what about the children angle? It looks to me like the children are doing just fine and they're less likely to use marijuana when it's no longer the gangsta, you know, black market outlaw, you know, exciting drug. And now it's just granny's glaucoma medicine, right? Marijuana has become something for older folks. It's become something for middle-aged folks like me. Kids don't want to do stuff that middle-aged people do. That's not fun for kids. And that's what's happening in the medical marijuana states. The kids are realizing that marijuana just isn't that exciting. So don't let them scare you about medical marijuana by bringing up the what about the kids argument, because the facts are on our side. Go to the National Survey for Drug Use and Health. This is a survey done every year where they ask kids, they ask people, they do surveys to find out what the use rates are. And I'm going to give you a great site. It's the Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Archive. They've got an entire database where you can print out the tables and get all the information you'd ever want. The letters you need to know, SAMHSA. Just go SAMHSA Quick Tables in Google and you'll find it. It's interactive all the way back to the year 2000. You can find out all the true facts about marijuana use and cut these prohibitionists down right in their tracks. I'm Radical Russin for Cannabis Carry and everyone here at Normal.org. Thanks for tuning into the show. Ganja John will be back tomorrow. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it out one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.